This is the brochure, my man. FACA members are professionally qualified in their respective fields. They combine knowledge, experience, and ability to communicate the exciting concepts of biblical Christianity. They share a consensus that the scriptures are the only record of the revelation of the Word of God to men. Unless you know what that language means, that sounds very good. The Bible is the only record of the revelation of the Word of God to men. You all see that I'm not making that up. You read it. I'll walk on the line there. It's the only record of the revelation of the Word. That's standard neo-Orthodox jargon. It is a record of the revelation of the Word. Is that the same thing as saying the Bible is the only Word of God?
No.
It's the only record of the revelation of the Word. See the same? See what I'm saying? It's a human disadvantage. This is Fred Norris. He worked with the European Evangelists, EES, the European Evangelistic Society, and the Evangelist's Envoy. It's their church, it's their school paper, like ours is Sunlight. Listen to this. It's Fred Norris. He says this: the New Testament, which we accept as our norm, the New Testament, which we accept as our norm, does not ask us to accept it as our final authority. It speaks of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. It proclaims Him as the authority. Jesus is Lord. You and I do not look to any other revelation than that witness to in Scripture. We take the Bible seriously. That's big of them. This is the New Testament, which we accept as our norm. It's our norm, but not our final authority.
Well, then in one sense, is there any...
Jesus is our authority. You see, the fallacy in that is that there is no distinction between Jesus and Scripture. The only Jesus that we have comes clothed to us in Scripture. Unless you're an existentialist. Unless you have an experience of Jesus.
That's good.
That is New Orthodoxy. That is the New Orthodox paradigm, yes.
So, because I saw that
manual,
are they on the road, like, kind of
uncharismatic? No,
they're
very anti-charismatic. Yeah.
I mean, because they talk about experience, you know?
No, well, not in that sense.
Okay.
Well, not in that direction.
Okay.
To clarify my mind on this, I brought this up a second ago, but I didn't quite understand. In John 1:1, it says, "And the Word was God." Okay? How can they say that Jesus is separate from Scripture, or am I taking that out of text?
You're taking that
out of text.
That doesn't
text.
Apply to this.
Okay,
let's... Here, I'll take that. But do you understand what Neo-Orthodoxy is? It's an attempt to have a biblical faith without the Bible. But it's existential.
Then, how do I get at the Word of Jesus, the authoritative Word of Jesus, except through the New Testament? Answer, I have to go directly. It's existentialism. And, if the Bible is not inerrant, then how do I know I've got the true Word about Jesus? Where do I get the true Word about Jesus? Where do I get the true Jesus? See, Jesus does not come to us clothed in mystical experience. He comes to us clothed in doctrine. We become Christians, not by meeting Jesus in an existential experience. We become Christians by obeying the gospel. It is not confrontation that gives us faith. It is the Word of God that gives us faith.
How do they achieve this revelation from God?
Existential.
But how can they do that without having a...
Some of them do. They're very patient. They're
more patient toward charismatic theology than I am. And they have no grounds for rejecting it at all. How do they know that when Ernest Ainsley speaks in tongues, that's not a revelatory event?
They have no way of saying they don't.
Well, they say, well, it doesn't fit Scripture, but they're not sure the Scripture's true.
So they would tend to use the Scripture for where they wanted to use it, and try to go with
it. That's exactly what they do.
And it's helpful.
They said, well, we believe the Bible. You believe Daniel wrote Daniel? Well, no, we'll believe that. If you believe Jonah and Acts was in the belly of the fish, well, we'll believe that. No, when I accuse them of being neo-orthodox, they hit the ceiling. So I use the term inceptive, beginning neo-orthodoxy. Now, they accept the neo-orthodox epistemology. You know what that means? The method. Epistemology means the study of how you know. How do you know? But once you accept a neo-orthodox, you take any system. If you accept its epistemology, eventually you will accept its conclusions.
He's not here to tell them how to behave, then why in the world do they even bother to behave by the norm of the Bible?
Well, the same reason the New Orthodoxy came into being, because you're in trouble if you don't. No, they say this. They say, look, you guys, they would say, if they were sitting here, they would say that I have misrepresented them. They would object. They would say, we take the Bible seriously. We believe the Bible is authoritative. Why? Because we choose to. authority. What's the difference? That is authority. It's one thing to say the Bible is an absolute authority. Something else to say it's authoritative. That is, it smacks of authority. It has an authoritative air about it. It must be taken seriously. Must it be believed in every detail?
No.
But it must be taken seriously. It's very condescending.
So I'm sure if one person takes this much of it and one person takes this much of it, then they have to say that's all right.
But see, by their epistemology, you don't have to accept any of it. You ask the question, someone asked me the question about do they accept this new Orthodox label. Fred Thompson, the former president of the Emanuel, said that he had no trouble being. So he says new Orthodox, no problem again. Our good friend Jack Cottrell, several years ago, when the North American
Why do we allow them to come to chapter 9?
Did they?
Yeah.
Yes, this year. I had nothing to do with it.
Last year
they came in. Their new president, spoke briefly at the chapel last year. And Angela sang by just a chance. She had me singing that day. And Calvin Phillips came in and said, "Wow, that news really bubbled, and I love your song." And, this is really good restoration. I shouldn't be spending time on this, but this is because it's restoration history. Let me just give you a brief answer. And we'll come back to the restoration history next quarter in detail. But I'm going to answer what you asked and skip over a couple of discussions. So break your heart. The restoration movement split three ways. It split four ways at least. But apart from the non-instrumental, the conservative people use the instrument. There were those who were the heirs of McGarvey. McGarvey had a column on Christian Standard for years. McGarvey at Lexington, caused the Bible, called Biblical Criticism. He fought the liberals, fought liberalism tooth and nail. And all the liberals were glad he died, or the modern people. And there arose, and of his. And look how many of those people came down.
Nakarai came down, these fellows who were too conservative for the ranking of those, they ended up in Emmanuel. So it's just a new Butler School of Religion. And it's going the same way Butler went, because there's nowhere else to go. That's why they laugh at the view of scripture I take, they laugh at. And they consider themselves to be the academic wonders of the world. And I would point this out, and I should, this is getting snotty, but their leading proponent, Fred Thompson, who's a former president, retired now, for years and years, he was the leading spokesman for this view.
President of Milligan College is a conservative and he's trying to straighten it out.
Yeah, I think he is.
Is that is the truth? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being snow job.
I think he has one chance in the world to do it, but he's more conservative.
What?
It's not been.
Two weeks is the checkbook.
It's all okay.
This is something that needs to be brought out. Why is this? You never hear this in the churches. You don't hear this kind of stuff in the
churches. Should it be heard in the churches?
Yeah. But it causes controversy. People don't like controversy. Why? It's not spiritual.
Right.
Trust me. And, people in the churches, the rank and file, those who support the people, who support these schools, if they knew what was taught there, this was not kept from them, they would stop their support, the people who don't agree with that view of Scripture. If it is not their support, they've got existence in 3 months.
Why don't we tell them?
I tried.
You don't want to know.
I tried, and the barrier to that is the main barrier to that is preachers who themselves have a very high view of Scripture, but who don't want to create an issue. That's the problem. The problem is not. See, we're the majority. We're by far the majority. All the weight's on our side. We got most of the money.
Support those who don't. Simple as that.
How do you not support those who
don't?
But no name calling? Mention names, no name calling?
I don't know that how you do it. You're going to get accused of name calling if you bring it up. See, what's considered spirituality, what you're supposed to do today is supposed to stand around and smile and shuffle your feet and play good old boy. And we played good old boy before, and the disciples took over all of our colleges except a couple of them, took over most of our church buildings, all our mission fields, and we started from scratch. We're going to do the same thing again, sure.
Unless we do get started and do something.
Well, yeah. We're stronger this time than we were before, but... Now, there are many who do make an issue of it, and it's growing. A lot of churches. The new president has been working, his main job has been damage control as he took office, because churches, many churches are stopping their support. I got a friend of mine, a group of churches from West Virginia, they called the president, Fred Thompson, the former president, and said, okay, we want to give you a chance to answer this. You know, some straight answer. What is your... Churches aren't always told the truth. I know the EES has a history of lying to the churches. I know that. I have personal experience with that. Mm-hmm. The European Evangelistic Society. The mail is being pipelined to you. It's the very childish question. But they just do not tell the truth. There's not half a dozen churches who support them have any idea what they're doing over there, because they're simply lied to. I'll give you an example.
have kind. One of our other churches here in Florida, Mr. Ford's CES.
At least you don't see anything in reports-wise. You don't see it.
I don't know what their position is.
always had the impression that they're, I've never had the impression that they're a liberal church, per se.
Well, no, it takes a very high view of Scripture.
Yeah.
There's a preach a lot of it, but it takes a very high view.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of
preaching. Yeah, well, no, I realize. I didn't know if that was one of the reasons, if this is one of the reasons.
I don't know. That's good. I don't want to talk about it, but, I don't have information on it. I really deal with the principle. Well, it all started way back here. You know what? Slightly out of context that Peter said, don't act as if some strange thing were happening. This isn't the way things work. This is church history. You can get mad, but don't get insulted. Don't act like it somehow is this is unnatural, but it's very natural. This is the way things work. You see, one of the things you must learn is that you never have any choice but to compromise. You either have controversy or compromise. Either fight or surrender. There's no middle ground. The nature of things. And the church that will not fight will surrender. You got to either have conflict or compromise. There's no such thing as comfort. Comfort is compromise. That's the nature of the thing. That is, I'm trying to teach you this, but because of the nature of the gospel, the nature of the world, the church will always have to defend the faith. That defending the gospel.
You know, And we've been over that and over that and over that. But I just love scriptures. I mean, we've covered their
it said the scriptures are going the way to the experience. I truly apologize. I did not mean to spend 2 hours on this on the Orthodoxy. But this is, you guys are going to have, we're looking at it historically. You guys are going to have to learn to know to recognize it and deal with it. But that's the battle. That's where the battle is in our generation. The faith. So in a way, I guess we can forgive ourselves. I'll let you go. Any other questions?